Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
This is the Financial Exchange with Chuck Zotta and Mike Armstrong. Your exclusive look at business and financial news affecting your day, your city, your world. Stay informed and up to date about economic and market trends. Plus, get breaking business news every day. The Financial Exchange proudly supports the Disabled American Veterans Department of Massachusetts. Registration is now open for this year's DAV 5K on Saturday, November 6th. Go to financialexchangeshow.com/DAV for details. And now, it's time for The Financial Exchange with Chuck Zotta and Mike Armstrong.
Chuck, Mike, and Matt with you today. Tucker is off for the day, and today was a Jobs Friday. We got the monthly jobs report for the month of May. And, again, disappointed, but not as disappointing as April is, I guess, the best that you can say about it. Coming in with about 566,000 jobs for the month?
Yeah.
569? How do I not have this up right in front of me right now?
559.
559.
Versus expectations of 671,000.
So this basically is the bare minimum that you can have to be able to get, you know, most of the people who lost their jobs back to work by 12 to 15 months from now. This is the bare minimum that you can do. So Mike and I both graded this out as a C. It is barely acceptable. You do not want to have more months like this. You need to start stringing together a few months, 700,000, 800,000, 900,000 jobs. I'd like to see a couple that get to, you know, a million plus. I think it's possible to do that at some point here. So
last month was a dumpster fire.
Yep.
This month was
This month was like a
firecracker that was kind of a dud.
No, this was like
it just kind of, you lit it and then it just didn't really do anything.
No, today was slightly overcooked toast.
Slightly burnt toast. Okay.
You'll eat it, but you don't really feel very good about eating it.
Okay.
And it's got that burnt flavor the whole time.
Okay.
I have a great stat from this jobs report, though.
Please.
The only age cohort with higher participation right now compared to before the pandemic.
Teenagers.
Correct. Do you know that the jobless rate for teens is now lower than the jobless rate for age 20 to 24 for the first time ever?
Unemployment benefits.
Could be. Don't know. But here, like, the thing that's really interesting
that's
on this.
That's really wild.
Is that the participation rate for teens has ticked up significantly.
Yeah.
And all that points to, for me at least, in a lot of these lower skill entry level positions in restaurants, they're moving out to the margin. They're desperate to find someone who can just come in and work.
Yeah, it's the summer jobs. So, I mean, if you look at the gains that we got this in this jobs report, the biggest one was leisure and hospitality, right? So
yep.
My view on what is happening, or at least partly what's happening here, is those businesses that make all of their money from June to August, they're paying whatever they have to.
And they'll just raise their prices.
And they'll just raise their prices. And, you know, the labor force that they're finding are teenagers. That's what they're finding by and large, is these teenagers to fill the jobs. Those that aren't applying, including the 20 to 24 group that you mentioned, I think a lot of those people are on unemployment benefits because I don't think that there's any fear of COVID among that group. So I think that group's on unemployment benefits. The other areas where we're not seeing job creation, like we lost 6,000 jobs in retail this past month. To me, that reads, okay, companies like Gap are just saying we will limp through the summer here and then come because we don't want to lock in wages at $18 an hour. So we're going to limp through the summer best we can. And then come September, hopefully we'll be able to hire people at $15 an hour, which is what we were trying to do previously.
Do you know what the teen unemployment rate is right now?
I have no idea what it usually is.
Just take a guess. Overall is right around 6. Where do you think teen unemployment is?
9.6.
Good. Do you know when the last time was that teen unemployment was at 9.6%?
Summer of the 80s.
1954.
Yeah. Okay.
1954.
So that was like, wow. 1954. I mean, nobody was going to college in 1954.
The last time it was even below 10%? was 1956. Like the stuff that you're seeing here just doesn't happen.
No.
This, like, think about all the amazing things that we've seen in the last year. I mean, negative oil prices, 30, you know, fastest 3-week drop in history, fastest 3-week gain in history. We got teen unemployment at the lowest rate in 65 years. This stuff just doesn't happen.
Let's talk about that piece. We weren't planning on talking about this, so neither of us did any real research on it. Teen unemployment at the lowest rate they've ever seen, that we've seen in 60 years, pretty much that we've ever seen, you know, in a modern economy. The wages that they're earning are pretty darn good. Do we have the potential to fix any of the problems around education that we've seen in terms of college prices here? Like, do any of these jobs stick?
From what perspective? What I'm
so,
just catching up.
Yeah, so you've got a bunch of kids working. Kids, they're 18 years old, bunch of teenagers working for money that they have really never earned before, and none of their siblings have ever earned before if they've got older siblings. Sometimes even their parents didn't, you know, realistically, not since their grandparents' generation did they pull in wages like this.
Yep.
Do some of them say, I don't need to go to college? Do some of them say, I'm going to wait to go to college? I'm not going to take out these $70,000 loans and go to get a liberal arts education because, you know what, I'm making $25 an hour because I did a good job during the summer and I don't need to do that anymore.
Could be. The question is, how far does that $25 an hour go?
Yeah.
If minimum wages are creeping up from, you know, 10 to 15, 17 in the lowest wage jobs. So, but here's something that this is just fascinating. So the last recession that we went through, okay, things bottomed out for teens in October of 2009. The unemployment rate for teens then was 27.2%. 4 years later, in October of 2013, it was still over 20% for teen unemployment.
Yeah.
We've never seen anything like this.
Yeah. There's wild stuff happening.
Right, and I'm not saying this is good. I'm saying companies are so desperate for workers that they're hiring teenagers who oversleep, you know, show up to work, you know, who knows what they've been doing the night before. They might not even get there because they got to borrow their parents' car and their parents are on this schedule.
No, that was millennials. These are Gen Zs. These kids are responsible.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. I was just projecting my own failures onto this next generation
of
children.
Yeah, it's not the, you know, 16-year-olds from 5 years ago that were eating Tide Pods, I don't think, right?
I don't know. I just need my participation trophy. I get so nervous when we talk about these things.
Yeah. So I, like I said, I don't know what this is, what sort of impact this is going to have. But for decades, you know, teenage jobs have been replaced by either, you know, adults that needed those jobs because there was no real wage gain. And so people, you know, took over paper routes and things like that.
Yeah.
You had foreign worker visas coming on. So, you know, summer, you know, beach shacks that were selling all sorts of stuff replaced the teenage workers with foreign worker visas. None of those are available. And what does this lead to? I do not know. But one of the things that comes to mind is that we have all been enticed to overpay for college for the last
50 years, 20, 30, 40 years.
Really
30 years.
Yeah, I don't know how much you were overpaying for it 50 years ago, but for a long time, maybe this knocks a screw loose here and there, I would hope.
So that's what we're seeing. Again, this is a very bleh jobs report. It's burnt toast. That's what it is. But I just find this fascinating that now you have teen unemployment at the lowest rate it's been at in 56 years.
Right.
That is insane. Yeah. I mean, would you hire yourself at age 17? I wouldn't hire myself at age 17.
I was working at age 17. I had a job since age 14 or 15. But
yep.
I was probably better at it 17 than I was at 19.
What was your first job?
Making copies in an office.
Okay. Mine was bagging groceries.
I know. Yeah.
Okay.
Dunkin' Donuts, baby.
Dunkin' Donuts. There you go. In terms, like, the roles that we're asking 17-year-olds to fill are not bagging groceries right now. It's, you know, it's stuff that is beyond that. That is the point that we're at in this labor market. It's absolutely nuts. But, hey, it's where we are.
Make no mistake. The restaurant is, like, nothing against the teenagers out there. The restaurant doesn't want to hire a 16-year-old to do the job.
No, they don't.
They absolutely do not.
Multiple reasons. Number one, again, just most 16-year-olds are really awkward. They're not good at talking to people. Getting them to say, can I take your order, is hard enough, let alone, you know, here's the wine list. Let me go get a 21-year-old who can actually serve you. You know, it's just, there's a lot that goes, not, you don't want 16-year-olds talking to human beings. That's, you don't want it. We all were there once. You don't want it. So let's take a quick break. When we come back, we've got trivia right after this.
This is your home for the latest business and financial news in New England and around the country. This is the Financial Exchange Radio Network.
There's no more refreshing drink than an ice-cold glass of water. And trust me when I tell you, they don't come from bottles or 5-gallon jugs. If you want the purest, best-tasting drinking water, call Stony Brook Water and order one of their new Ion coolers. These coolers connect direct to your water supply and filter your water right from the source, providing unlimited clean water without any harmful contaminants. The coolers are small and sleek. They'll fit on any countertop in your office, and they come with multiple settings, including hot water for tea and a sparkling water option, which you won't find anywhere else. Businesses from Marshfield to Maine are using Stony Brook's superior technology, including the TD Garden and Gillette Stadium. When it comes to fresh drinking water, there is no substitute for a new Ion cooler from Stony Brook Water. Order yours today by calling 978-381-1476. Stop wasting money on huge jugs or cases upon cases of bottled water. That's 978-381-1476, or you can visit them online at stonybrookwater.com/trial. Stony Brook Water. Water the way it should be.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
The Financial Exchange is live on Facebook. So make sure to like our page and watch the guys break down the latest on the markets every day beginning at 10 on the Financial Exchange Radio Network.
It is time now for trivia, and I've been hounding everybody on the show to do trivia about one of my favorite, not really well-made films, but one of my favorite films, Idiocracy, from 2006. So we'll be doing some Idiocracy trivia, so put your thinking caps on. Trivia is brought to you by Southern Airways Express. Flights to Nantucket are now available with a brand new schedule from Hanscom Field. Take the easy route to Nantucket. Fly Southern Airways Express from Norwood, Providence, New Bedford, and now Hanscom Field off Route 128. Fast flights, low fares. Book today at iFlySouthern.com. In this 2006 film, a few big companies have pretty much taken over the world, including Starbucks and Costco.
How is this different from today?
Yeah, it's pretty much the exact same. But as the main character, Luke Wilson, is walking into the Costco, there is a greeter that stands there, and he says, "Welcome to Costco, blank." What is the rest of the phrase that the greeter says to every customer walking into Costco? Welcome to Costco, blank. You can text your answer to 63566. Please include your name and the keyword iFly again to 63566. And we'll take the seventh texter with the correct answer today. We'll be taking home a $50 gas card as well as being entered to win the pair of round trip tickets, which we'll also be giving away at 11:33.
Can you also send the right answer to Lois just because she doesn't
know it? Okay, Lois, I'll be right with you.
I was just about to ask you that, Mike.
Yeah, it's things are complicated today. It's we don't know what the answer is. The Department of Justice.
It's a really awkward answer to give her without context.
Oh no! What did we do?
It's not profane. It's actually I'll show it to you.
Okay. Good. The Department of Justice is elevating investigations of ransomware attacks to a similar priority of terrorism, requiring interagency coordination in order to deal with them and mandatory reporting. This would seem to be one of those cases of kind of the bare minimum that should be done in these situations, given, you know, what we've now seen in terms of disruption to large-scale infrastructure in the U.S.
Yeah, you're hearing the FBI really compare what they are attempting to do here to post-9/11 in terms of cooperation and security efforts. I mean, you know, clearly we have not created the type of commission that was created after 9/11 to really throw a lot of efforts at this. And I think, you know, at some point you might be able to argue that you might need something with a little bit more power to get things done. Not that I agree with everything that was created post 9/11, but you know, what they're talking about doing here and what they want to see happen is a lot more sharing in terms of cross-border with our allies. So, hey, you know, company in Germany that got hacked with a cybersecurity threat, we need to know about that here in the U.S. And so, you know, sharing a lot more information. One thing that I heard mentioned was disclosures from companies. So, you know, whether that's mandatory or voluntary, I'm not really sure. And that's where I think, you know, this type of commission could be helpful. But hey, companies, if you come under a cybersecurity threat and you pay a ransom, right now for most industries, other than now pipelines and I believe airlines, really not a whole lot of required disclosure. So, you know, that'll be a question. There could be some legislation passed on whether or not government agencies, for instance, are legally allowed to pay these types of ransoms. You know, certainly they can't prohibit a private company from doing so, but, you know, could you prevent a, you know, the municipality of, you know, Boston, Massachusetts from paying one of these things?
Yep.
Technically, yes. And then the big one, which I don't know how this is going to happen, but you know, most of these bribes are paid in crypto. And that, I think, is going to be part of this crackdown is, you know, what is the FBI going to attempt to do to better understand who actually owns these crypto wallets and track it? And I really don't feel like the FBI's got a great handle on how that's going to work.
If you don't think that regulatory authorities are going to use these ransomware attacks as the justification for cracking down on crypto, I think you're missing the boat. Not you, Mike, but
yeah.
in general. There's a reason why you're also hearing about these attacks. I mean, again, the fact that beef processing in the U.S. was running 18 to 20% below normal capacity for a couple days, should that make news normally? I mean, what are any of us going to do about it? Go out and kill a cow? what are we going to do?
Oh, I'm just now picturing you attempting to kill a cow and just crying the entire time. I would absolutely be in tears if I were in charge of doing that job.
I would too.
You're picturing that scene from Forgetting Sarah Marshall where Jason Segel's trying to kill like a chicken or something like this.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
It's basically what it would be like.
Yeah.
It's basically what it would be like, I think. If you bring me the meat, I'll butcher it. I just don't want to kill the animal myself.
Yeah, no, not for me.
You know, I'll butcher it. Bring me its body.
Lots of respect to the person that does it, but
yes.
And sorry to all the vegans that are listening right now.
Yeah, but it's a big constituency for us, I think. let's talk a little bit about Apple. They unveiled their AirTags a couple months ago. I think it was March, maybe, when they unveiled them.
Was it
April?
That long ago? Yeah, March or April.
Couple months. Okay. And you mentioned at the time that the way that they were building them was a little bit creepy in some respects. Talk about what that was and then what's Apple doing now in response.
Yeah, so, I mean, these AirTags, if you're not familiar with what they are, you basically attach them to an object. And if you lose that object, it helps you find it. And it uses not only, it doesn't use like a 4G signal, but it basically allows the AirTag to connect to anyone's iPhone via Bluetooth, and that therefore, hey, you know, there's this many iPhones out in the world. If it's anywhere in any sort of metropolitan or even suburban area, you're going to be able to find it because of all the iPhones connecting to it. Yeah, if you lose it in the White Mountains, it might take a while to find it because there's not a whole lot of people walking around there, but generally speaking, that's how it would work. Obviously, one of the concerns here is it's kind of stalkerish, right? If you put one of these things that's, you know, the size of a dime in somebody's purse or backpack, you can pretty easily track
somebody. You can spy
somebody.
On people,
then.
You
can spy on people pretty easily. They're going to be making some updates here where if there is one around you and it stays on your person for a prolonged period of time, meaning it's moving around, it's going to make some noise and kind of let you know. And I think that's kind of the bare minimum of what they need to be doing here, but that's what they're talking about.
Right, because you don't want, you know, the average person now to be able to have access to James Bond technology where they're planting bugs on, you know, people and, oh, I got, you know, a little tracker device on you so I can see where you're going.
Yeah, I mean, there are all sorts of horrible abuse type scenarios here that that you don't want to really occur, right? We do not want to give stalkers more power to stalk people.
No. So it's, again, this is not something, for some reason, I feel like I'm the only person that doesn't want these because I've talked to an awful lot of people who are like, oh, I can't wait to get AirTags. I think they're going to be so great. And I just, I what do I lose that's that important?
I just don't feel like they're necessary at all. Like, you know? Why? Like,
what am I going to do?
What's the big draw?
If the only things that really matter that I can lose are my wallet and my keys. And if I lose my wallet, I got to cancel all my credit cards anyways, regardless of where it is.
Yeah.
You know, and unless I lose it in my house, in which case I know it's in my house and then I'll find it eventually.
Maybe like Jennifer Aniston in Along Came Polly. She could use these.
Haven't seen it in a while.
She loses everything.
Oh.
Constantly loses everything. And there are people out there that just constantly lose everything. I guess I get that. My kids are one of them. But, like, I'm not going to put one of these in my kid's water bottle.
No, you're just going to attach it to your kid instead. I know where you are.
My brother taught in Korea for a little while. He taught English in Korea. And, you know, obviously technology very different in Korea than it is in the United States. One of the very common things there was a kind of fake cell phone that every, like, six-year-old had attached to their neck that only could call their parents.
Interesting.
A little creepy, too. But yeah, it was a tracking device slash cell phone. And if the kid pressed a button, it would call up their parent's cell phone.
Do any of you use the like share my location thing on your iPhone?
I have and I do not.
It's horrible. It's this is along the same way. Sometimes if you lose stuff, just figure it out, you know?
Millennials.
Millennials. It's the answer to everything today. We're going to take a quick break right now, but when we return, we have the answer to our trivia question, and then we're going to be talking a little bit about what airlines have been doing with all their spare planes that have been floating around for the last year.
The Financial Exchange is live on Facebook, so make sure to like our page and watch the guys break down the latest on the markets every day beginning at 10 on the Financial Exchange Radio Network.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
If the Wall Street roller coaster has you scratching your head, check out our brand new podcast, Dumb Questions for Smart Money, an easy way to gain some knowledge about the latest trends in the business and financial industry without the brain pain that comes with it. Listen and learn to Dumb Questions for Smart Money. Subscribe today on Apple, Spotify, and all your favorite podcast apps.
Played a little bit of trivia here on the Financial Exchange during the last segment. It was all about one of my favorite mid-2000 movies, Idiocracy, about a dystopian future where everyone's rather stupid. And the question was, as the main character walks into a Costco store, there's a greeter standing out front, and he says, "Welcome to Costco." And well, how does the phrase end? The phrase ends, "I love you." And the reason that that was a rather a kind of weird thing for me to text to Lois is because I just had to text her, "I love you," to give her the trivia answer. I did provide some context because otherwise that is a very strange thing to send to your coworker.
We did have a winner on this question. The winner of the $50 gas card today is John from Providence. And the winner of the 2-round trip tickets to Nantucket is Mark from Georgetown. And congratulations to both of you. Trivia today is brought to you by Southern Airways Express. Flights to Nantucket are now available with a brand new schedule from Hanscom Field. Take the easy route to Nantucket. Fly Southern Airways Express from Norwood, Providence, New Bedford, and now Hanscom Field off 128. Fast flights, low fares, book today at iFlySouthern.com. Speaking of flying, a lot of planes globally been out of the air over the last year. 440 large commercial jetliners were scrapped in 2020, actually a 15% decline compared to 2019. So with all these planes that have been out of service, why did airlines junk fewer planes last year than the year before?
They can't afford new ones, so they can't junk the old ones. They aren't flying the old ones, so they don't need to replace them, so it's actually not that costly to deal with. And did I tell you, by the way, I found the deflation. I found prices that went down.
Where?
Used plane parts.
Oh, well, I've been buying them up. Now what am I going to do for retirement?
Prices for spare parts on planes are low because many planes are grounded and don't need those extra components because they're not being flown anyway. So if you were sitting on your spare parts for your 737s, then I got some bad news for you.
Yeah,
got
to get rid of all those engines I have in the backyard.
That bet did not work out for you. This seems like a temporary issue, but, you know, to be clear, right, the airlines, it's going to be a while before they're able to fully rebound and replace this fleet of planes. They're going to be kind of flying the old junkers for a little while. Not that they're in the worst shape that they've been in history. We bailed them out three separate times in the last 15 months, so they're doing all right.
They're okay.
But, yeah, it's likely going to be a while before they fully replace their set of jets.
Yep.
Folks, there's no more refreshing drink than an ice-cold glass of water, and trust me when I tell you that they don't come from those bottles or the five-gallon jugs of water. If you want the purest, best-tasting drinking water, call Stony Brook Water and order one of their new Ion coolers. These coolers connect directly to your water supply and filter your water right from the source, providing unlimited, clean water without any harmful contaminants. The coolers are small and sleek. They'll fit right on any countertop in your office, and they come with multiple settings, including hot water for tea and a sparkling water option, which you won't find really anywhere else. Business from Marshfield to Maine are using Stony Brook's superior technology, including the TD Garden and Gillette Stadium. When it comes to fresh drinking water, there is no substitute for a new Ion cooler from Stony Brook Water. Order yours today by calling 978-381-1476. Stop wasting money on those huge five-gallon jugs or cases upon cases of bottled water. The number to get yours is 978-381-1476, or you can visit them online at stonybrookwater.com/trial. Stony Brook Water, water the way it should be.
The Biden administration expanding a list of blacklisted Chinese companies that had previously been put into place by the Trump administration, now going to be having 59 Chinese companies banned from receiving U.S. investments. Number of these are subunits of companies that were already banned. So, for example, two financing affiliates of Huawei Technologies, the smartphone and telecommunications equipment manufacturer. They're going to be added to this list. A few companies that are tied to one of the Chinese aviation companies. But pretty much what this means is that as of August 2nd, these sanctions will begin and there will be no further investment allowed from U.S. investors into these companies.
So pretty substantial expansion on a Trump-era policy here of, you know, forbidding investment in these companies. I think it started off with only like five of them.
Yeah.
Might have expanded to 15 or 20 by the time Trump left office. Now, you know, pushing 60 different companies. Not only can you not invest in these directly, but mutual funds or index funds, you'll have to divest yourself. I guess the funds themselves will be divesting.
The funds themselves will have to sell. Yeah. I've always said when it comes to China, on both sides of the equation, pay attention to what's being done, not what's being said. And this here is an indication that there's not really any substantial change happening in China policy when it comes to the economic aspects of it. I think, you know, certainly there are questions about, hey, are we going to see things shifting geopolitically? But economically, the Biden administration largely continuing the same policies that were in place.
Yeah. So, I mean, on either side, if you were concerned that the Biden administration was going to roll over and cancel all the Trump policies, it appears that that is not occurring. That is,
yep,
you know, being expanded, some of these Trump policies. And if you were hopeful that, you know, investment in China was going to become easier and, you know, that would present a real opportunity, it does not seem to be the case. It does not seem that, you know, relations with China are becoming any cozier if you're one of those companies that is, you know, importing goods from China or raw materials from China. Likely the things that we've seen around tariffs and trade problems maintained or expanded is my expectation at this point.
Your Amazon Echo will share your Wi-Fi network with neighbors unless you opt out. So this is
creepy part two.
I just
picked a bunch of stories to exhaust you today,
Chuck. I just don't know anymore, Mike, how I can get out of bed in the morning.
All right, so let's first talk about what this is actually what's actually happening. Here. So if you just whip up your computer or, you know, take out your phone out of your pocket and you're walking down the street, you're not going to be able to go connect to Chuck's Wi-Fi network just by looking for it. So,
but I want to connect to my own Wi-Fi.
You can still do that, but okay. I'm not going to be able to unless I chat with you about it first.
Okay.
What you will be able to do is, let's say you have got your home where your Wi-Fi router is, and then you've got your garage, which is pretty far away from it because maybe your router's on the other side of the home, and you decide to install one of those fancy Ring doorbells or keypads or any of those things, and it's too far away from the router.
Okay.
What is going to happen is, if that doorbell is closer to your neighbor's Wi-Fi network and they also have some of these Amazon products, they're going to let you borrow your neighbor's Wi-Fi.
No. No. Yeah.
Unless automatically.
No.
Automatically. You have to go in and you have to opt out from this decision. Now, you know, Amazon's saying, hey, you know, it's only going to use 1/40th of the bandwidth used to stream a typical high definition video. It's really not going to slow down your own internet productivity. And it's really, you know, it's for these altruistic causes, right? You know, we've got a Ring security camera that can't be connected to your Wi-Fi, or they used an example of like maybe I think they've got some sort of home security products for folks with, you know, elder care, so dementia type products, maybe a watch or something like that that connect to neighbors' Wi-Fi. Like, they're trying to make this seem like such a community nice thing to happen. And I gotta tell you, like, if you want to do this, go for it.
You have to ask people.
But ask, right? You should not assume that I want to share the product that I am paying for automatically without you compensating me for it, right? If you want to make that part of it, hey, we're going to pay you 10 cents a day for access to your Wi-Fi network to expand our network of home smart products to be able to do this. All right, at least I can make that decision, but don't just turn it on without asking me. These are the most popular smart home products in the world. They're in more homes than any other product out there. And they're just going to say, hey, we're pulling all your neighbor's Wi-Fi and everybody can connect to it. Like,
I'm so disheartened.
Come on.
I don't even have anything
else to
say.
No,
I don't even have anything to say.
It's kind of just typical Amazon, right?
It is. Just, I don't get it. Like, why would you think that nobody's going to take issue with this? Did you think you were going to sneak it under the radar and nobody was going to notice? You know what? You know what the issue is? You and I are misreading this. Nobody cares.
I know nobody cares. That's why I'm so distraught, because no one's going to actually opt out of this thing.
No, they're not. No, they're absolutely not. So especially if you live in the city and you have a lot of close neighbors, just buyer beware what's going on here. Yeah, text from 860. What could go wrong? Yeah, what could possibly go wrong with this scenario here?
Do either of you know how much it costs to retire to Antarctica? I just want to be as far away as possible.
Actually, probably really expensive. I was reading about the cost of going on a vacation to Antarctica because of, like...
Well, vacation's always different.
Yeah, but I don't know that moving there is going to be any easier. I think it costs six figures to go on a vacation to Antarctica.
Well, I know, but it's expensive to go to Greece also, but it's got a really low cost of living if you live there.
Yeah, I think that's different.
Oh. But penguins. The penguins, Michael. The penguins. Let's take a quick break from my existential dread, and when we return, Paula Monica from CNN Business is going to join us, talking about one of the meme stocks moving markets this week.
Business and financial news affecting the markets and your wallet. We've got it all, straight from Wall Street, right here on the Financial Exchange Radio Network.
The fastest, easiest way to get to Nantucket is back. Fly Southern Airways Express from Norwood, Providence, New Bedford, and now a brand new route from Hanscom Field. Spring is here, and it's a great time to plan a day trip or a weekend on the island without the hassles and high fares of flying from Boston. Southern Airways Express will provide you a first-class experience that is sure to make you a frequent island hopper. Take off for Nantucket today from Norwood, Providence, New Bedford, and now their brand new route from Hanscom Field. Fast flights, low fares. Book today at iFlySouthern.com.
Don't worry about dealing with taxes when you retire.
Take the steps you need to take now to build a plan that maintains the income you need, while also preparing you for possible tax issues down the road. Call the Armstrong Advisory Group today at 800-393-4001 and get their new guide, Building an Income Distribution Strategy. That's 800-393-4001. Or download it right now at armstrongadvisory.com. Securities offered through Securities America Incorporated, member FINRA SIPC, and advisory services offered through Securities America Advisors Incorporated. Securities America and its representatives do not provide tax advice. Therefore, it is important to coordinate with your tax advisor regarding your specific situation. Michael Armstrong, representative. Armstrong Advisory Group and the Securities America companies are unaffiliated.
Business news, financial news, and what it means to you on the Financial Exchange Radio Network.
Ladies and gentlemen, the weekend.
It's time to finish at the fort. Join us here at the Financial Exchange as we support the Disabled American Veterans Department of Massachusetts and take part in this year's DAV 5K. The race is set for Saturday, November 6th from Fort Independence at Castle Island, and registration is now open. Visit financialexchangeshow.com/DAV to sign up and to learn more about how you too can help support our true American heroes.
We're joined now by Paul LaMonica from CNN Business, here to talk a little bit about Bed Bath and Beyond stock. Paul, how are you memeing today?
I'm memeing just fine. How about you guys?
We're memeing fantastically. So Bed Bath and Beyond, for the second time this year, went through a 50% price spike in a span of about a week. It since has fallen about 25% from that high, but is this a situation that is the exact same as GameStop and AMC, or is there something different going on here?
I think it is similar to GameStop and AMC. There are a lot of people touting the stock on Reddit, the Wall Street Bets board, and for similar reasons. Like GameStop and AMC, there are hopes that you have a return to normalcy in the U.S. economy as people get vaccinated. People also have those stimulus checks to spend as well, and that companies that are sort of turnaround stories might have a big V-shaped pop, and Bed Bath & Beyond is one that fits that bill. But I think investors, as they often are probably a little ahead of themselves.
You know, one of the things on this, with GameStop and AMC, you can look at them and say, hey, they were struggling businesses before, you know, the winds were changing, but at least you could point to them and say, the people that are on, you know, Reddit, on Wall Street Bets, they might be customers of GameStop, they might be customers of AMC. With Bed Bath & Beyond, do you really get the sense that a bunch of Redditors are going to start going there to buy their sheets?
You know, well, I mean, who knows? Maybe if you look at the Reddit board, there might be a few Frank the Tanks there that you know, they're getting ready to have their really nice little Saturday. If they can find the time to get there after Home Depot, they're going to go to Bed Bath and Beyond. But you know, jokes aside, the company has been trying to turn its fortunes around, and it's heavily investing in its own private label brands that I think could be attractive to millennial consumers, those that are moving out of the house, getting their own apartments and houses. I think the bigger issue, though, is that Bed Bath & Beyond, like GameStop, is in a physical retail world where there is a lot of competition. So you have Amazon clearly doing more in the furnishings area. You have Walmart and Target and Home Goods, which is owned by TJX, on the lower price end, you know, with affordable furnishings. And then if you're a more affluent consumer, you've got Wayfair. So I think Bed Bath & Beyond is doing some smart things, and the strategy makes sense. My criticism isn't Bed Bath & Beyond trying to stay relevant. It's with Reddit traders who think that this, like all the other meme stocks, deserve to go to the moon, or in this case, Pluto.
Paul, we saw a couple days ago AMC do what I think is always the smart thing to do when you have a stock that's overvalued. They issued more shares in order to raise capital. They're talking about raising even more at this point. Any indications that Bed Bath & Beyond may try to do something similar as they try to attempt this turnaround? Because I know their financial position hasn't been great.
Yeah, I mean, this is a company that there are worries that they are, you know, that they lost money last year in 2020. But I think because they are expected to be profitable this year and sales are rebounding slowly, they are expected to be up in its next fiscal year very slightly. I don't get the sense that there's as urgent a need for raising capital as there was with AMC. So, yes, striking while the proverbial iron is hot might make sense, but by the same token, there are still some old school, again, investors out there that see big equity, new equity secondary offerings as a bad sign because it's dilutive to existing shareholders. So I don't get the sense that Bed Bath & Beyond is going to rush into doing a stock offering just because their stock is going up.
Very good. Paul, we've got to run, but thanks for joining us and have a great weekend. Enjoy Bed Bath & Beyond.
It's pretty impressive. Two.
Did you cut him off, Mike? Or Matt? Or was I just that not funny?
I laughed.
He was trying to make a cricket noise and it just didn't come through.
I just completely flopped that one.
Should have boosted his levels.
It's pretty impressive. Two old school references in a 3-minute interview.
It was pretty impressive, wasn't it?
Yeah. That was pretty good. That was pretty good. Next time he's going to try and meow a whole bunch of times. That idea of issuing shares, by the way, like we got a text on this the other day. Like, why would they do that? So this is the really interesting part of the AMC shareholders versus AMC management, right? If you're the CEO of AMC, you want to sell a whole bunch of shares because you are actually trying to turn around this business and you want to raise capital and you haven't paid rent to any of your landlords in 12 months. You have debts that are, costing you 15% in all likelihood. You got all these problems. So you want to raise money because you want the business to be successful. The problem is that 80% of your shareholders are retail investors, likely a lot of these short squeeze meme enthusiasts who have no interest in the fundamentals of your business whatsoever.
The other thing that's kind of interesting is that, again, with all this stuff, so you have all these retail traders who are saying, AMC to the moon and okay, I'm going to make a bunch of money and we want to punish all the fat cats, yada, yada, right?
Yep.
Aren't the biggest beneficiaries of a stock price that rises 1,200% or 2,500% year to date, the people who own a bunch of stock, most namely AMC management?
Yeah, I don't know if that group has the same issue with that. I don't think that's a hatred for rich people, right? They love Elon Musk. So I don't think that there's just a one-for-one issue with, oh, you're
rich. Do you think they
rich.
Can name the CEO of... How many Redditors do you think can name the CEO of AMC?
Prior to the YouTube channel interview that they did?
Which I think that's fascinating. We have to talk about that on Monday because we just ran out of time.
Six of them?
We have to talk about that on Monday. Let's make sure we get that story in the stack then. Markets remain heavily positive. Dow up 85, S&P up 26, NASDAQ up 185. Everyone have a great weekend. We'll see you back here on Monday.